Trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, He will never leave you then, He'll go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
All right. Brother Frank, how about lead us in prayer if you would? Pray for our nation and the political situations. Our school system's getting ready to crank back up. And in many states, I know Charlotte area, they're planning on teaching that critical race theory in some of the schools. And there's a lot of people standing against it, but they're pushing it through anyway, you know, and keeping quiet about it all they can. They won't deal with it in the school meetings, the school board meetings, and that sort of thing. And these big cities, what's happened in these inner cities is that the liberal Democratic Party has taken over most all these major cities. Like Charlotte, as big as it is, only has two Republicans on the whole council in Charlotte. And so it's like 7-2 for everything they vote for, you know. And so remember the political situations. Ira mentioned South Africa and New Zealand with the problems that they're having, and our nation. And so please remember our country, please.
Your Lord, is good to be in this place tonight, Lord. It's good to be here. Enjoy the freedom that we have as Americans to come to worship you in the spirit of truth. We are thankful for our country, the way you blessed this country in the past, for all the things that we have. We're a wealthy nation, a prosperous nation, Lord, and many freedoms. And all those things are at risk because of the things that are going on. Lord, your word tells us that you have ordained civil government. And we obey laws and those things because it honors you when we do that. We submit to authority. Lord, as the apostle said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And sometimes when we're told to do things that are against your word, Lord, help us to have a testimony, help us to have strength and character and courage to do the things that we need to do.
Yes. Yes.
So that's the only thing that will change men's hearts. Focus on those things. And any person that is a follower of you, Lord, is a brother of Christ. So we just pray that you would bless our country in the way that you only can, only you can. Give us the wisdom to deal with the situation in a way that honors you in all that we say and we do. And to never lose patience, never lose patience. Be violent.
Yes.
Lord, all these things we ask in your name.
Amen. 361, sweet hour of prayer. Just remain seated. We're going to sing the first and second verse. 361, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Brother Gary, pray for our missionaries, if you would. The Pates that we support are at 65% of their support to get to the mission field. The Stalkups are over 90%, and they're going ahead and move to New York, where they'll be working with the Muslims up there, the Afghani Muslims in Queens, New York. Bill Dillon, who's going to Israel, is at 80%. And we have one other that I didn't write down that's not yet full supported, and they're going to the mission field. The Browns are at their level that are going to India. And today I got word from the mission board that the Newtons that we support in India, who are Indian people, they have a couple of churches and a school, and the mission board asked us to take off the internet any acknowledgement about them and their address and that sort of thing, because some of the government, the Hindu government and Muslims, are searching the internet for these people and coming to their homes and trying to persecute them and all that sort of thing when they're finding out they're into Christian ministries. So be sure to pray for all of the Christian pastors and churches in India and ask for God's protection and help for them. And missionaries, Brother Gary, if you'll pray for that.
Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight. I think the scripture in Psalm 92, where it says it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord.
Amen.
We thank you tonight for your many blessings. We thank you for this country that has the Word of God, has so many churches all over the place where we can go and worship freely. And Lord, we thank you for these missionaries and these churches in India, especially who are really suffering persecution. We pray, Lord, that you might just put your hand upon them and just show yourself mighty. We pray, Lord, that they might get the strength that they need and the financial support that they need. And all these, Lord, that Pastor mentioned that are about ready to go, we pray, Lord, that you give them encouragement tonight. Help them to get the last bit of their funds together and to be able to get on the field and do the work that you called them to do. I think of our missionaries at Dietrich, Lord, in the Solomon Islands. I pray, Lord, that you continue to bless them and their family and their children. And Lord, we just pray that they continue to see people saved and discipled. What a great work they're doing over there. And Lord, we have missionaries all over the place. So we pray tonight that you might just raise them up and continue to bless them and keep them safe. Pray, Lord, that you might continue to use this church to support as many missionaries as we have. Lord, what a giving church this has been. And we thank you for pastors' leadership in this and how he stays up with them and keeps up with what they need and their different needs each and every month. So we're so grateful for that. We pray now, Lord, you might bless the service tonight, the pastors he preaches. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Diane. The director of UNICEF has published that there have been over 500 children in Nigeria that have been taken captive by the Muslim extremists, Boko Haram and these other organizations that you've heard about. One Christian group from Bethel Baptist Church in a town in Nigeria, northwest Nigeria, had 140 of the school, Christian school staff and children who were taken prisoner. And we don't know all the things that they'll do with these kids. They try to get ransom from them, but they often abuse these girls. And so please pray for them and pray that the officials can get a handle on protecting these people there. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs 30 and verse 21. We'll pick up where we stopped off. Proverbs 30, verse 21 through 33. Verse 21, I begin reading. For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat. For an odious woman when she is married, and an handmaid that is heir to her mistress. Now this is speaking about chaos resulting to the earth to be disquieted means to quiver in a violent emotion as trouble stirs up wrath and stirs up difficulties. And these are things that Solomon wrote about that are chaotic in their results when everything is out of place, when things are not in their proper order and things are not in their proper place. Intolerable things. If a servant reigns instead of a king, it upsets the balance of power. It's obviously not according to the normal method of things. Normally, a king would reign over a nation, and normally his own heirs, like David, Solomon became the king, and then Solomon's son became the king. Because Solomon's son was corrupt and no good, the kingdom divided the north from the south, and those kind of things happened, but both had their own kings. And for a servant to reign, he would not have the background and the ability or the wealth or any of these things to rule and reign over a people. The fall of man into sin upset all the ways of God, how he had things planned. If you look at Romans chapter 8 with me and verse 18, Romans 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. So looking for our future resurrection and a new body, we groan and travail, waiting for that day to come in this life. Things are out of place. Christ is not ruling and reigning on the earth, and things are not going according to God's plan. They will one day, and thanks God, we'll be a part of that kingdom when Christ rules and reigns. But until that day, things are out of place, and that caused chaos and disorder. And man was made in the image and likeness of God,
He was given a mind so that he could know God and discern God's will. He was given a heart to be able to experience love for God and love from God. And as the New Testament teaches us, it is God's will for us to love others with that same love also. And then he gave us a will so that we could make a choice to obey God and serve God and love God. But sin entered in. And all three of this part of man were darkened and alienated from God. And man made the wrong choice to serve self and to serve sin rather than to serve God. And so the whole world has been affected by these things. And this is the part of chaos that results from things being out of place with God as they are even in the world today. Secondly, he said, when a fool is filled with meat. He's referring to a man who is foolish in his thoughts concerning his relationship to God. Man is prideful, and his pride offends God. And man makes choices in rebellion against God, like a fool that is filled with meat is, you know, got all the answers and he's got all the ideas of how to do things because he doesn't have any needs. If you turn back in Proverbs to chapter 6, you can pay note to the things that God lists there that he hates. There are six things he hates, and the seventh is an abomination unto him. In chapter 6 and verse 16 of Proverbs, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. First one in the list is a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies." And then the last one, "He that soweth discord among the brethren." So to split a church, to stir up trouble, to sow discord among brothers and sisters in Christ in unspiritual ways of dealing with those things are things that God hates. And we see these kind of things result in the divisions that are between men on the earth today because so many are unbelievers and choose to go the ways of the world, and those who are believers are often looked down upon if they bring up the Word of God. Thirdly, there is an odious woman. Now, I remember the first time I read that, I thought it meant she smelled bad. And odious, I looked it up, and odious means one filled with hate. And so for a woman to be filled with hate and to be married is an unusual thing. Usually a woman filled with hate has been mistreated in some way. And rather than going to God and finding a way to deal with it and forgive people and put it behind her, she has focused upon it. And she's either gone through a messy divorce or been abused in her younger life, and she's troubled by it and angry and bitter. And it's not the norm for her to be married, because norm in marriage is love, which brings joy and peace and kindness and sweetness in the relationship between each other. And so that's uncommon. It's out of place for a woman who's filled with hate to have a good marriage and a good home relationship. And so it's showing us all these things that are out of place, that are against the norm, that cause chaos among society and among men. Fourthly, is an handmaid that is heir to her mistress. Now this is an unusual thing, that a wealthy woman would not normally leave her inheritance to her servant that works for her. She would normally leave that to family members, descendants, or possibly we see in our world today, sometimes people leave great amounts of wealth to charities and to organizations, to schools, and these kind of things to help society in some way. They would not normally leave that to a servant. Sadly, in America, there are so many rich people, and some of them become a little senile in their older years. You read every once in a while about some multimillionaire that leaves all kind of money to a dog or a cat or something like that, you know, and here there are all these children that, you know, are without parents and without homes and homeless, and those kind of people could benefit greatly from the charity of someone with lots of money, but they leave it to a dog and a cat and something of that nature. And usually they got some fella that, you know, conned his way into their life to be the caretaker of that animal, you know, from then on, and gets paid a salary to take care of that cat, you know, and feed it every day and all that sort of thing. I guess if it paid good, I might apply for a job like that. I don't know. But normally that's out of place. That's not the norm. Now, beginning verse 24, we come up with four more things that Solomon has observed. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. So these four things Solomon observed in his wisdom. First of all, the ants. When you think of ants, you think of government. They work together to prepare their food for the winter. They work together for the good of the colony. They maximize their resources. They waste no time on foolish things. They don't even waste time on entertaining themselves or on unimportant matters. They focus on what is important, and that is the survival of their colony. And what they are preparing, they may never live to enjoy, but the colony will produce more young that will live to enjoy. And we can learn from their ways of doing things to apply to the Christian life and to the church. Conies are considered to be rodents. They are similar to a rabbit in looks. They are vegetarians. They take refuge in rocks, and their claws are able to allow them to cling to rocks, and they can make their beds there. They have no other real natural protection, but they found a way to be safe. And for the believer, our way of being safe is being grounded on the rock of ages, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the rock who's our refuge, and we flee to Him for help in our times of need, and He is able to deliver us from this present evil world in which we live, Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4. We face many dangers in life, going through life, but Christ can protect us and provide for us. The third thing is a locust. Now, I read in a science book that a locust is a grasshopper. If the grasshopper, something triggers in that grasshopper, then it will produce a blood flow within to produce greater wings, and it will assemble with all the others to go to an area carried by the winds to totally devour all of the vegetation in a field or a forest or a jungle or anything of that nature. And all these scientists have never been able to find exactly what triggers this and what puts them together. The locust can live fine by itself all along. It's no threat to anyone. The worst thing it will do is chew the grass. It's like chewing tobacco. You pick it up by your hand and it'll spit tobacco juice on your fingers, just like if you pick up a hoppy toad, it'll wet on you, you know. And it doesn't cause warts, by the way, either, you know, but people say it does. Well, they can live alone, but for some unknown reason, they can change and they can become a mass that can have tremendous power to devour a field. Now, when we became new creatures in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17, all old things are passed away, and we have become transformed into a new creature. We assemble ourselves in the church, and the church together is a force to be reckoned with. We can accomplish world evangelism. We can accomplish spreading the gospel throughout a region. We can accomplish revival as a church much more than what we can do one-on-one by ourselves. Working together, we can be like the bands of the locusts. The word for band in the Hebrew is the same word in the Greek for shout. When the Bible says Jesus will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, that shout, the Lord calls the church, all the bodies of the dead. He brings their spirit with him when he comes and reunites them into a new body, and we who are alive will be caught up with them to be changed. And that shout calls us together. That's the force that will do something one day that nothing else can do until that day takes place, which will give us the new bodies that we need. Fourthly is the spider. Spiders spin webs and catch their food. They're very patient, and they can take hold in kings' palaces. We learn that we can't take hold of the king's palace if our hands are filled with other things. We can't take hold of all God wants us to have and God wants us to do when our hands are filled with the material things of this world. We have to empty ourselves to be available for God to fill our hands with His mercy and His grace and His love and His provision. One day He's going to take us to the place in heaven where Christ is preparing in the mansions of the Father's house. And we'll be able to take hold there. We take hold of Christ by faith, and we take hold of the Word of God, and we'll be ready to live in the Father's house when that day comes. Chapter 30, verse 29 through 31. There be three things which go well, yea, four are calmly in going. To be calmly in going means to be certainly and surely. A lion, which is the strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. A greyhound, and he-goat also. And a king against whom there is no rising up. So a lion, we know the Lord Jesus Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, but he's the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he will come back leading in the battle of Armageddon to fight the war, and he'll turn aside from no enemy and no numbers of enemies. He'll bring destruction to them all. The Lord Jesus is the great King whom we serve and worship, but he has not taken that position yet. He will one day rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Secondly, is a greyhound. This word for greyhound, many translators try to determine this is something different, like a zebra or other animals, but it means to be girt in the loins. And a greyhound has that upward body shaping from the stomach up to its hips, and that girt in the loins is why it's translated a greyhound. A greyhound fits this description. A greyhound has great speed in running, and he has great endurance to continue to run in long distance. We have to serve the Lord with endurance if we're going to reach the prize. We got to forget the things that are behind and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. and press forward with endurance. It's sad to see in churches you visit where you grew up, you go back and visit 10, 15, 20 years later, or you went to town on vacation somewhere and you visit and you come back years later, and there's almost none of the same people there anymore. It's sad that church members don't endure better than they do. It's important that we continue to serve the Lord with our lives and don't get sidetracked on things that get us out of church, and don't give up with discouragement, but that we keep faithfully enduring, doing the work of the Lord and being faithful for God until the Lord calls us home. Thirdly is a he-goat. Mountain goats live on rocks and are very sure-footed. Goats are used in several places in the Bible as illustrations. Daniel saw a ram in prophecy coming from the east, and a he-goat with a great horn. These were symbols of Persia and Greece, that Alexander the Great from Greece would conquer Persia, and then Rome would eventually conquer Greece. And Daniel 8, 3 through 5, he saw these things. In Leviticus 16, 22, it deals with the goat on the Day of Atonement, how that one goat was to be slain and the other was to have sins confessed upon it and be led out into the wilderness to take sin away. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price for our sins with his blood, but he also was buried and took our sins away, never to be recalled against us again. And so a goat is a pretty strong animal that's pretty bold and sure-footed, and it's good to learn from. In Matthew 25, there'll be the judgment of nations in the end time, and God will separate the sheep from the goats. And there the goats will represent the unbelievers, and the sheep will represent God's people. Fourthly, a king against whom there is no rising up. Our King of Kings will have put down all rebellion and deception after Armageddon, and Satan will be chained in the abyss. And he will surely be one who there can be no rising up against in that day. He will rule and reign, and he'll have no enemies when Satan is chained in hell, and the beast and the false prophet have already been cast into the lake of fire. Satan will be released for a brief period of time after the kingdom, so that those people that live in the kingdom in their mortal bodies will have to be tested and tempted. And sadly, many will follow Satan. But fire will come down out of heaven and devour them. And then the great white throne judgment will take place. Not many nations in the world are ruled for a very long period of time without uprisings. There are coups where people take over one kingdom from another, and rebellions and wars and all of that sort of thing that take place that remove leaders. He said, verse 32, if thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. You ever said something and then done this? Can't believe I said that. You know, wish I could catch that, put it back in there. That's kind of a common experience, to put your hand over your mouth when you said something you shouldn't have. 33, surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood, so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. You ever churn butter? I remember as a little boy, we'd milk the cow. I'd stand on the front porch, big old ceramic crock, and had that churn, little stick with a cross on the bottom of it, you know, go down in the hole, and dasher, you call that, you know, and you keep dashing long enough, you make buttermilk, and you keep dashing longer, and it starts collecting on the sides of the crock, that's butter. And I love buttermilk. My wife calls it nasty milk. But me and the kids like it, but she doesn't like it. That's good, it's more of it for me if we can get some of it, you know. But you got to be careful. It has too much cream in it, too much fat in it. You can't drink a whole lot of it. It's not good for you. And the worst thing you can do is what makes it taste better is you put some salt in it, you know. And then crumble up some cornbread. Cornbread and buttermilk, nothing like it, I'm telling you. And chapter 31 goes into where we'll take up next time. We had the teens had their meeting tonight. The kids have their meeting tonight with Nathan. And this will be the last Wednesday night for Nathan to do the program. Next Wednesday night starts Master Club. And so they'll be back in the gym on Wednesday night with the kids. And there's going to be a meeting this Sunday right after church in the fellowship hall. If you'd like to help, if you even think you'd like to help with Master Club, even if you don't want to be a teacher, there's plenty of places where you can help. And they'll have a meeting for you on Sunday to talk about it. And we can sure use additional workers always. I've never seen a church that had too many workers. I've been a member of a church that started with 9 people in my family. And I've been a member of a church that had 1,500 in Sunday school. Both of them needed nursery workers all the time and junior church workers and youth workers and all that sort of thing. And a church will never outgrow the percentage of workers that it has. When VBS was here, we needed about 40 people every night to be workers to handle the amount of people that we had in VBS. And thank God we had a good number of workers this year. VBS went good. Several young people got saved. Thank you to all who helped. And those of you that came and helped take down the decorations this week, thank you so much. It all came down much faster than it went up. And they got through so early, I thought they was going to have to wait to eat pizza for lunch. But Jacob went and got it and had it ready for them when they got through. And the only thing left, we left a little something for you to do, Grace, you know, so you and Cindy. And Mark's class, Gwen and them, they're going to take it down in there, I think. But all the halls and the walls and the hall and the auditorium and the fellowship hall, all of it got taken down. We thank you so much. So let's be dismissed in prayer, and I hope all of you have a wonderful week. We're here to help you. Don't forget Satish flying to Ohio and back. And Samuel got back fine on his trip, and he had to start school on Monday morning. So remember these teachers and also the kids as they're headed back to school.